Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so continuing on second part of the Pancha Samskar. Srila Prabhupada's purport on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, page 12. Madhya Lila 15108. Diksha Purascharya Vidhi Apeksha Na Kare. Jihwa Svarshe Achanchala Shavare Udhare. One does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy names with his lips. Thus, even a man of the lowest class can be delivered. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami explains Diksha in his Bhakti Sandarbha, 283. Divyanam yato dadyat kuryat papasya shankshayam tasmat diksheti saprokta Deshikais tattva kovidai. Diksha is the process by which one can awaken his transcendental knowledge and vanquish all reactions caused by sinful activities. A person expert in the study of the revealed scriptures knows this process as diksha. The regulative principles of diksha are explained in the Hari Bhakti Vilas 2, 3, and 4. And the Bhakti Sandarbha 283, as stated. Even though born in a Brahmin family, one cannot engage in Vedic rituals without being initiated and having a sacred thread. Although born in a Brahmin family, one becomes a Brahmin only after initiation and the sacred thread ceremony. Unless one is initiated as a Brahmin, one cannot worship the holy name properly. According to Vaishnava regulative principles, one must be initiated as a Brahmana. The Hari Bhakti Vilas 2.6 quotes the following injunction from the Vishnu Yamala. Arikshi tasya vamaru kritam sarva nirartakam pashu yonim avapnotim viksha virohito jana. Unless one is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, all his devotional activities are useless. A person who is not properly initiated can descend again into the animal species. Hari Bhakti Vilas 2.10 for the quotes. It is the duty of every human being to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, giving him everything, body, mind, and intelligence. One must take Vaishnava initiation from him. The Bhakti Sandarbha 2.98 gives the following quotation from the Tattva Sagar. By chemical manipulation, bell metal is turned into gold. And when touched by mercury, turned into gold when touched by mercury. Similarly, when a person is properly initiated, he can acquire the qualities of a Brahmana. In the Bhakti Vilas, Hari Bhakti Vilas 17:8-11-12, in discussing the Purushcharya process, quotes the following verses from the Augusta Samhita. In the morning, afternoon, and evening, one should worship the deity, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, offer oblations, perform a fire sacrifice, and feed the brahmanas. These five activities constitute Purascharya. To obtain full success when taking initiation from the spiritual master, one should first perform these Purascharya activities. The word Pura means before, and Charya means activities. Due to the necessity of these activities, we do not immediately initiate disciples in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. For 6 months, a candidate for initiation must first attend artik and classes in the shastras, practice the regulative principles, and associate with other devotees. When one is actually advanced in the Purushcharya Vidhi, he is recommended by the local temple president for initiation. It is not that anyone can be suddenly initiated without meeting the requirements. When one is further advanced by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra 16 rounds daily, following the regulative principles and attending classes, he receives the sacred thread, brahminical recognition, after the second 6 months. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas 17:4-5 and 7, it is stated, without performing the Purushcharya activities, one cannot become perfect even by chanting this mantra for hundreds of years. But one who has undergone the Purushcharya Vidhi can attain success very easily. If one wishes to perfect his initiation, he must first undergo the Purushcharya activities. The Purushcharya process is the life force by which one is successful in chanting the mantra. Without the life force, one cannot do anything. Similarly, without the life force of Purushcharya Vidhi, no mantra can be perfected. In his Bhakti Sandarbha 283-84, Srila Jiva Goswami describes the importance of deity worship and initiation, diksha, as follows. It is Srimad Bhagavatam's opinion that the process of deity worship is not actually necessary, just as the specific prescriptions of the Pancharatra and other scriptures do not have to be followed. The Bhagavatam enjoins that even without practicing deity worship, one can achieve the complete success of human life by any of the other devotional processes, such as simply offering oneself at the Lord's lotus feet for his protection. Nonetheless, Vaishnavas following the path of Sri Narad and his successors endeavor to establish a personal relationship with the Lord by receiving the grace of a bona fide spiritual master through initiation. And in this tradition, the devotees are obliged at the time of initiation to begin engaging in deity worship. Although deity worship is not essential, the material conditioning of most candidates for devotional service requires that they engage in this activity. When we consider their bodily and mental conditions, we find that the character of such candidates is impure and their minds agitated. Therefore, to rectify this material conditioning, the great sage Narada and others have at different times recommended various kinds of regulations for deity worship. Similarly, Chandrika states, O best of the Brahmins, even without initiation, preliminary purifications, or acceptance of the renounced order, one can attain perfection in devotional service simply by chanting the Lord's holy name. In other words, the chanting of the holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is so powerful that it does not depend on official initiation. But if one is initiated and engages in Pancharatra Vidhi, Vidhi worship, his Krishna consciousness will awaken very soon, and his identification with the material world will be vanquished. The more one is freed from material identification, the more one can realize that the spirit soul is qualitatively as good as the Supreme Lord. At such a time when one is situated on the absolute platform, one can understand that the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself are identical. At that stage of realization, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna mantra, cannot be identified with any material sound. So see, we're dealing with some very fine points here. So what's expected also is that a fine approach, a fine understanding, because we see we've opened with this verse. One does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation, the Purushcharya Vidhi. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man in the lowest class, Chandala, can be delivered. Right? So, the Acharyas are very clear to make this point, that the holy name is not dependent upon any aspect of ritual or anything else like this. The holy name itself is powerful enough to elevate one to the perfectional platform. So this here is also understood is that it is in the association of devotees, right? Because now in the nectar devotion, the holy name is being discussed, but we remember before that the point is that unless one approaches the bona fide spiritual master, right, then one is not going to be able to advance properly. So here, when we're talking about diksha, we're meaning that the instructions of the spiritual master are received and practiced. Right? That's the actual diksha. So if that's being done and one's chanting Hare Krishna, there is no need of actually any formalized preliminary or initiation ceremonies and regulations, or the regulations of the deity worship. Right? So that's the actual point. The holy name is that powerful. But as pointed out by the Acharyas, and in the tradition, as we see given by Narad Muni, because one would have to admit Narad Muni is a bit of a Paramahamsa. But his preaching, as mentioned in the Bhagavatam, the two main areas what he focuses on is deity worship, the Pancharatra, and Naishkarmya, right? Performing activities without desire for a result. These are his two main aspects of preaching. So the Pancharatra itself, being given to, you know, humankind, that is by his grace. And when it gets lost, he again refreshes it in the memory of mankind. So then it would appear that there's some, well, we don't need all this, right? Because it also makes the point, it's not just, okay, anybody, but it says a chandala, right? So then definitely we'd be included in, you know, that it would work for us also. It's not saying a chandala, you know, or, you know, like this, but why chandala? Because chandala will be taken as basically one of the lowest classifications of consciousness you can have. Because it is a reverse of a reverse, right? It means that you have, as we discussed before, as you have the inherent nature, right? Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. And the modes that they function under, their purposes. The Brahman is interested in liberation and knowledge, following regulation. The Kshatriya has that same thing, but there's the need of the control to establish religious principles, to protect, to punish. Vaishya, then, from the mode of ignorance, I mean from the mode of passion also, but mixed with ignorance instead of with goodness. Then profit being economics rather than profit being the progression of human society. Right? The Kshatriya, the whole society has to progress and it be orderly. Vaishyas don't care if it progresses or it's orderly as long as they can make money. And only when the order and the progression slows down so much that they're not making money anymore, then they worry about it. Otherwise, they don't worry. As long as they can make money, it just doesn't matter. That's why it's passion and ignorance rather than passion and goodness. Right? So that dynamic element, so that Arthashastra is a central feature for both of them. They practically make profit, but one is social, one is economic. You understand? Well, for the Brahmins, then it's knowledge, it's not the development. They're not the ones that are going to do it. They train. Right? And then for Shudras, then ignorance, then it all becomes about the body, the mind, the emotions, the feelings. That is the field. That is where progress is made. So as long as I can express my feelings, you can appreciate my feelings. You know, that kind of thing. And our attachments, you know, we can cultivate and make those progress, the Shudra is happy. Okay? So that's the natural levels of the consciousness. All human, but it's just where the focus is. So if you have one of those, it's clear. You know what to do, it works very well. And then from that position, you can connect that to the Lord and elevate yourself, because it's clear what you're dealing with. Problem is when you have Varna Shankara, means you're mixing these mentalities. Then the individual is not clear who they are. Right? That's a modern phenomena. Who am, you know, it's not who am I, meaning, you know, in spiritual. It's who am I? I can't figure out socially. Am I this? Am I that? You know what I'm saying? People want the facility of interacting on the grihastha platform of the senses and emotions, but not the responsibilities. This is Varna Shankara. Right? A normal person takes the responsibility. They know that you have to take care of the person, the facilities. It goes together. Right? But just that I want to enjoy the thing, but I don't want to take care of it. I play with it, and when I'm done, I drop it on the floor and then go on to the next thing. Who does that? Children. Adults don't do that. They take the thing, they use it, then they put it away nicely so it'll be there next time. So it's also taken care of. You know what I'm saying? The teenagers get in the car, driving around town, it runs out of petrol, does this and that. They don't really care because their father will take care of it. But the father's putting the petrol, changing the tires, changing the oil, having it getting regularly checked. Why? Because it has to go on. That's the difference. So the modern culture, though one is more mature, economically they're quite developed. Sometimes even politically, but socially, they're children. Why? Because they're mixed. Economics is straight. If you're going to do it and be successful, it's one way of doing it. Politics is one way of doing it. You understand? So that way is clear. But the point is what you're supposed to be involved in, that they don't know. Does that make sense? Because otherwise you say, no, but the one is going. But it's two different things. Right? So, the person doesn't know who he is because it's mixed. So if it's only a drop of one, you know, Brahman Kshatriya, you know, Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, then they're a little closer. There's not as much difference between the one right, 1 degree. But when you get 2 degrees, that's a problem. Brahman and Vaishya. That's a problem. He wants to do all Brahminical activities, same time he wants to make all this money. So the point is okay, if you have a business person who's very religious, nice. But if you have a pujari who's very economically inspired, not so nice. You understand? So, but the point is if you put it the one way, yeah. So, and then if you have 3 degrees, right, Brahman and Shudra, then that becomes even worse, right? Because then they have intelligence, but and structure, but they'll use their structured intelligence how to get sense gratification. Right? It won't be beneficial. It'll be destructive. Does that make sense? And this is, we're talking pratiloma, I mean analoma, with the grain. So these are the nice ones. Right? Then if you reverse it, where it's analoma, then the kshatriya being the main thing with the brahminical inside, then you're going to go about brahminical things with the kshatriya attitude. Right, that would be the example of Ramaharshana Sutta. He's discoursing on the shastra, but when Balaram comes, then it's a matter of prestige, right? Because that's the kshatriya element. So he doesn't stand up. I'm on the Vyasasana. I don't have to stand up for anybody. Anybody but God, and you're probably your spiritual master, right? You know. So if Lord Brahma walks in, the four Kumaras. You know, like that, Lord Vishnu, it's a good chance you have to stand up. Right? But because of the kshatriya element, it's not the knowledge that's important as the position. You understand? If everything's going nice, great. He spoke, you know, basically all the Puranas, except Bhagavad. Right? But it's still, if the situation goes right, then he loses the thing. That lower nature comes up. So the sages, he knew the Shastra, so he was the authority on the Purana. In fact, he was given the Puranas by Vyasadeva to be the one who, you know, disseminates, who publishes the Puranas. So then the sages are fine with that. They don't care that he's mixed, that he's a Sutta. As long as he has the qualifications, great. But when something goes wrong, then they said, well, what to do? He is of lower birth. He's of mixed birth. What do you expect? Right? So there already one degree is making trouble. Right? In if it's Anuloma, one degree doesn't, it just drops. If it's a Brahmin father, Kshatriya mother, then you get a Kshatriya kid. Right? Kshatriya father, Vaishya mother, you get a Vaishya kid. Vaishya father, Shudra mother, you get a Shudra. So it's clear. Right? But in this other, one degree immediately is making a problem. Then 2 degrees, 3 degrees, right? So 3 degrees on that side means, I mean, 3 degrees on Anuloma, you get a Nishada. Right? That's, you know, your standard, how you say, one whose consciousness is below what is required to take part very comfortably in the Varnashram society, at least in the greater society. Maybe in your own, you know, like you can put a whole bunch of persons that don't have great consciousness together, and they can work amongst themselves, and they'll create their own level of Brahma Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, like you have a tribal. And they have their leader, they have their followers, they have their medicine man, who's always their teacher and everything. So they have it within themselves, but even their medicine man may not be up to the standard of, you know, your general Shudra in your standard social environment. Does that make sense? So the idea is that then Nishada is already outside that system. Chandala is even lower than that. Chandala would be considered worse than the Nishada. Okay? Does that make sense? So now, then, so you're taking this Chandala, which means it's mixed but reversed. You know, it's the greatest degrees and reversed. So if you mention Chandala, basically you're covering everything. Right? Because, of course, we're not... So that means it means Nishada would be your general rule of someone who is mixed, you know? Or it means outside the system, right? Chandala will be outside the system, but really outside the system, right? So we're not talking within really outside the system who's even farther outside the system, because generally they don't really work with anybody. So it's not broad enough. Does that make sense? Because Chandala means basically everybody can be accommodated. Does that make sense? Because if we mix the Chandala, actually I think it's if you take the Nishada and you mix it with reverses. Okay, yeah, Nishada is down. Now if you take a Nishada father and mix it with a Shudra mother, because now you're getting its Pratiloma again. Then you get a Swapacha. Right? So it's slightly different than which Swapacha means dog eater, Chandala means dog eater, but there's a slight difference in consciousness because of what their mix is. Now if you take that Chandala, and still it's coming in that one line. So if the Chandala man then marries the Swapacha woman, then that's also, you have the 4 degrees, but they're not within their own category. It means if a Nishada marries the Nishada, you'll just get a Nishada. Right? Chandala, Chandala, you get a Chandala. So that's considered fine. It means it's a Chandala, but at least the line is not degrading. But then when it goes, yeah, but problem is then when it's mixed in the Pratiloma, then you end up getting something always way lower. So when those two are mixed, you get an antavasayin. So even the Chandalas and the Nishadas and Swapachas will consider them outcasts. Right? So we're not talking about that, because that's a very rare, you know, degree of outcastness, you know, like that. So Chandala is a good general group that's also low enough that you can't say, well, no, but these ones won't, you know. Does that make sense? By saying Chandala, basically you've covered everybody. Right? So therefore, we don't have to worry that we're not included. Okay. Does that make sense? So the sense of security is being offered there by the... Yes?
Even if we're the Antivasayin? Generally, they don't socially function. They can't socially function. But the holy name is such that it'll work for them also. Like that. The point is, the holy name will work for anybody. You know, and by saying Chandala, that basically means your whole category of beyond human, you know, consciousness. So that's there. But what we're meaning, why Chandala would be picked, because that's a more general category than Antavaisa, because that's very rare, especially to have a community of them. You know. Does that make sense? So you won't get a community because to get one of them will be rare, to get another one that can marry each other to create a community. But you know, you'll get Chandalas, you'll get Nishadas, you'll get Selekta. You know. Is that okay? So now the point that's coming up is that now one must surrender to the spiritual master. That's no question. So to say, I'm going to chant Hare Krishna, and as it says here, the no rules apply, you know, so no initiation, but also no spiritual master. That's not going to work. Because without the association, where is the holy name going to have its potency? Where are you going to receive it from? Because the point of receiving it from a bona fide person still applies. Right? Otherwise, it's not the holy name that non-different from Krishna. It's the words, but it doesn't have that potency. Does that make sense? So now, technically it can work that way. But, as being pointed out by Narad Muni, Jiva Goswami, and quoting the tradition, the Vaishnavas still go through that process anyway. Why? Because it makes things quicker. Because if there's not these association, not the preliminary activities, not the initiation, it's not taken so seriously. And only as you take it seriously does it have effect. Right? You don't take it so seriously, then the mild effect. Right? So it'd be very slow. Right? Just like Allen Ginsberg was chanting Hare Krishna years before Prabhupada came to America. He'd do kirtans and do a whole thing, and you know, all the hippies would be very enthusiastic and all that, but how much was he surrendering to the process? How much was Krishna important for him? You understand? And this had been going for years. Well, other devotees who were taking up the process seriously, following Purushacharya Vidhi, they were ready for first initiation after 6 months. Right? And then for second after another 6 or 1 year, depending upon the place. Does that make sense? So that's why it's recommended, the Purushacharya Vidhi and initiation, because it makes everything run more quickly. Yes.
In Islam, generally, only second initiated devotees are worshipping the deities.
Yes, but as you see what Prabhupada's saying here, when he's mentioning the point, for 6 months, a candidate for initiation must first attend artik and classes in the shastras, practice the regular principles associated with other devotees. So attending pancharatrik programs, you get the same benefit as performing. So that is deity worship. That's why devotees say, well, I don't do deity worship. No, everybody, if you're coming to the temple and attending the program, you're doing deity worship. And in fact, the lifestyle, as we mentioned the other day, is the pancharatrik lifestyle. So following the pancharatrik lifestyle, you know, and this way, taking part in the deity worship, that purifies. Okay? Does that make sense? That's fine. Yes?
When you say, like, when you spoke about Brahman initiation, in ISKCON we do seminary, can we consider it is for the three classes, Brahman, Kshatriya, and Vaishya?
Yes, means Upanayanam, or you mean the Pancharatrik initiation? Because it's two different things. Both will be counted as Brahman. The one being the Brahman from that Vaishnav means the realized Brahman, right? But when we're generally dealing with it, we're meaning the sacred thread, meaning the Upanayanam ceremony. So Upanayanam ceremony is a Purushacharya Vidhi. right? But the problem with it is the Upanayanam requires one to be in the mode of goodness and have that association and lifestyle, right? So it's not that you just take anybody and they get it. No, these are persons that are born in Brahmin families. It means the parents had the Brahminical or Kshatriya Dwija nature. They follow that lifestyle. So they have that pious lifestyle, that clean, that regulated acceptance of authority, all those different things. So then the quality of the living entity that appears in that family will have that nature, right? So then through training, then Upanayanam comes up first, because they're in the mode of goodness. But the Pancharatra Diksha is pure goodness, so we shouldn't confuse them. Right? Because the point is if holy name works for the Chandalas, then therefore without the Upanayanam, then we're able to come to that standard. Right? Through the chanting of the holy name. It's not because, oh, it's lower, therefore we can take it. No, you're not situated in goodness. That's not your lifestyle. It won't work for you. Because generally when devotees approach it, it's a matter of prestige. Generally, what I've seen, sometimes parents give their kids Upanayanam and all. Most of the time it's prestige. Because very rare, it's actually, that's their family line and that's what they do. That's their tradition. That's not a problem. But if the Westerners take it up and do it, it's a prestige. Because I haven't seen one kid yet that actually has the qualifications. But if their family and it's their tradition, then you see it. Does that make sense? So it's very, very much up to the nature. I mean, so we're talking about mode of goodness here, not talk. Well, we chant. No, but the point is someone who's new, they're not chanting on that level. When we say here, the holy name, we're talking about very serious chanting. Right? So the point is that will do it, but otherwise then the mode of goodness is lacking. So then they won't be able to take advantage. So it's not an option. So does that make sense? So here, for the Brahmin, coming in the Brahmin family, having the Brahminical qualification, it's still less than Vaishnav. Then they're worshipping the Shaligram. That would mean deity worship. Right? The regulations of the deity worship. They're worshipping Shaligram. But that's their tradition. But otherwise, then for us, it means that, you know, that they're worshipping the deity by attending the programs. Because the benefit's the same. Just the one has the qualifications of goodness, they can do this. Does this make sense? So that's why you have Brahmins in India who are Brahmins. They're real. They're actually qualified Brahmins. But they may not be Vaishnavas. Right? When we say smart to Brahmins, we're not saying they're not Brahmins. We're saying they're Brahmins. That's why we say smart to Brahmins. Right? They're Brahmins, but they're not Vaishnavas. So by them following that, then that would give the purification that now if you add in the other elements, then they very quickly advance. Right? 11th Canto mentions that. Like South India says that, you know, it'll be slower, but once they take up the Vaishnava thing, then they'll do very well as Vaishnavas. Because they have that Pancharatra tradition, that Brahminical tradition. It's just part of the culture there. Does this all make sense? So we have to be able to distinguish here. That's where we're going into this. This is the second year, so we expect some finer discrimination here. You know, this is not a matter of, oh, but, you know, so that means that, you know. Because I've seen temple presidents, they don't have anyone qualified for second initiation. They don't have enough, so we could worship the deity by, you know, giving the new bhakta Upanayana. No, it's they're missing the whole point. It's not, this is not artha, just what will practically get the work done. It's a real thing, you know. And then the other side is that, oh, because we chant, we don't care for all these things, so Upanayana doesn't have any real, you know, meaning. The yagyas don't have this, that. No, they all have validity. It's just that the holy name is the greatest. Does that make sense? So it works on its own. The other ones require, how you say? require qualification. Because if it didn't require qualification, why did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who's not just an ordinary Joe, right? He's a Nitya Siddha. And so he's splitting the time frame of the Diksha, the five aspects of Panchasamskar, into two groups, so that the mantra and yaga is coming later when that maturity is there. Because the idea is you get first when you're situated nicely. You know, in other words, association, everything's good, so you get first, and then you take up bhajana kriya. But when you come to the madhyama platform, technically that's when you're supposed to get second. You know, when you come to nishta bhajana kriya, that's when you get second. That's technically how it should be, because you see Purport Sri Prabhupada says the second initiated devotee is now an advanced devotee. He's a madhyamadikari. So that's the standard. Right? It's not he's been around for so long, or we need pujaris, or this or that. You know, it should be that stableness, that steadiness, that commitment, that position of naishkarmya is there. Does that make sense? Yes.
In the beginning, like 65, Prabhupada introduced...
Okay, not in the beginning means like you were talking like a biblical in the beginning. Okay.
Prabhupada introduced just Bhagavata, and when he saw that devotees were not advancing properly, then
means it would be predominantly Bhagavat, but just adding in elements of the Pancharatra that would just regulate, create a lifestyle, right? Because the conditioned living entity requires religion. Either you're given it or you'll create it. You know, it's just like, you know, if you're from a, say, traditional upbringing, then there's already religion is there. There's a lifestyle already there. So you just take that up because it's regulated, it's explained and everything like that. But if it's not, or parents don't understand the need of it, then you'll see the teenagers will create their own. They have their own language, their own dress, their own way of, you know, social interaction. They've created their own religion. You understand? So, how much is necessary to create a lifestyle? Then that much is there, but basically it's Bhagavad.
So when he saw that they were not advancing properly, therefore like...
Yeah, they weren't steady, they weren't this and that. Like, up to 1970, the devotees would basically, wherever you could do Harinam, they would be out there. So if that meant being, you know, I think the standard, they'd be out till 11 at night. You know, because after 11, generally people go inside somewhere, in a pub or in some place, so you don't see them on the street. But until 11, they were out in your public area. So they'd do Harinam till then, come back, you know, take some bishag, go to sleep, and they'd get up like 6, you know, 7, like that. It wasn't a problem. But then when he saw that they weren't able to catch the philosophy properly. Right? This whole scene came up in New Vrindavan. And they started, some senior men were preaching Mayavad philosophy and stuff like this, and devotees couldn't tell the difference. I think Satsarup was the only one that had read the books. So he was the only one that was complaining, but, you know, that's one Satsarup against four others, right? So devotees were very confused. So Prabhupada then established the full Pancharatrik regulative program, you know, so that there'd be regular reading the morning and evening, like that, and then along with that, then all the other aspects. So therefore, Mangalartik, all that was introduced. But before that, it wasn't. The main focus was just on going out and Harinam. Does that make sense?
Lack of this process is...
Yeah, so I'm saying, in other words, it can be done like that, because then the maximum exposure of the public to the holy name would have happened. But otherwise, like this, we'll still go out, but the point is there's no use in going out and saving the public if you can't save yourself. Right? Self-realization means yourself, you're advancing, because at your advancing can help others advance. Right? If you're drowning in the ocean, it's really hard to save someone else drowning in the ocean. But if you're out of the ocean, you can then help others, right? So that's the point. Does that make sense? Or at least you're out, you're not out, but you're holding on to the rope and they're pulling you out. So you can tell the guy next to you, hold on to the rope, you'll get out. Does that make sense? So that's the idea. And then, because devotees then had all kinds of, you know, social and emotional attachments, economic attachments, attachments of, you know, prestige and power, then Prabhupada said, okay, then introduce the Varnashram. Otherwise, there's always a touch of the Varnashram. His Bhagavad, the lifestyle of Bhagavad, if you formalize it, it's called Varnashram. The worship of Krishna in the spiritual world, if you formalize that, that's called Pancharatra. I'm saying, whether you have Pancharatra or not, Krishna does get up at the Brahma Muhurta. That's when he gets up. It's not, he's not getting, that's just when he gets up. Right? And then in the evening he goes to bed. Right? Now that he goes out dancing at night with the gopis, that's another thing that's outside the Pancharatric system. But, you know, like that, does that make sense? He takes his lunch. He has breakfast. He has his meal in the evening. Right? He has a bath. He gets dressed. Right? So that's what he's doing. So now if you formalize that, that becomes Pancharatra. Right? And then the little details where all the emotional exchanges and all that, then that's Varnashram. You know, the mother Yashoda is there, you know, because it means, mother, you're cooking for Krishna, that is a service. Krishna's going to eat, someone needs to cook. That's Pancharatra. Okay? But that you're the mother, and so therefore you have that natural attachment, then that's why you're inspired to cook. That's Varnashram. You understand? So these different aspects reflect into the material world. You know what I'm saying? Here it's because that's the duties, you do it. In the spiritual world, they're doing that naturally. So there's no need to identify it as one or the other of these. But in the material world, there's a need to identify because otherwise one won't follow it properly. This makes sense? Yes?
Isn't the Bhagavad the mood of the spiritual world?
Bhagavad is the mood of the spiritual world, yeah. And Pancharatra is basically your Vaikuntha. You know, so it's a natural thing. It's not strange, right? But for us, then that becomes, you know, so Pancharatra is basically formalized Bhagavad, right? And the Vedic then gets into all the other little cultural details. So those cultural details are what is nice, that pleases Krishna, you know, because you do things in a particular way. You know what to expect. So the spontaneity is not in how you do something. The spontaneity is in the mood, you know, of doing it. That's the main thing. So spontaneous, let's say you have a cook, like let's say a Bengali cook. Now, there's some who are very regulated in the cooking and things like this, and so they know this is what you do and this goes with this and that goes with that. So it's intellectual. So that would be, that regulated as a Vaidhi. But there's those who are very spontaneous and can put all kinds of things together. But it still never leaves Bengali cuisine. Does that make sense? But this idea is that spontaneous, one day it'll be Bengal, one day it'll be this, one day it'll be that, one day we'll eat off the ceiling, you know, another day, you know what I'm saying? That's not what it means. Spontaneous means it's the mood within the nature of it. Otherwise, then, you know, today we're human, tomorrow we're, you know, dogs, next day we're, you know, and then the next day you come and you get down and start barking. Hey, that's so yesterday. You know, today we're cats. You know, it's like, you know, how do you keep up? Right? It's the same. So if you're doing with eternity, you have a framework that works, but the spontaneity within the framework. Right? You know, music is seven notes. You don't need an eighth note to make it interesting. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is you don't, that's not spontaneous like here. Spontaneous means just do something crazy. No, the mood is spontaneous, but the activity, the framework you're doing within doesn't have any real meaning or any connection. Spontaneous means you can take a framework and give life to it. That's spontaneous. Does that make sense? Like that, yes.
Spontaneous sounds whimsical.
Yeah, whimsical or spontaneous, or sporadic. You know, whimsical being the better of the two, I guess. Yeah, it's whimsical. So, you know, you just felt like it, you know. But that's not what it means. It means within that, you know what to do and know the situation of what would be good and all that, and so it just works. You know the rules so well that you're not thinking about the rules anymore. you're thinking about, you know, it's just like the person who's first learning to ride a bicycle is only thinking about the bicycle and the mechanics of how to make it work and how to not fall off and get hurt, right? But once they can do that nicely, they're not thinking about the mechanics at all. They just automatically do the things. That's the spontaneity. So then, I can go here, I can go there. The other one, you're not thinking about here and there. You're just thinking about there's a tree, there's a kid, there's a ball, there's a ditch. That's what one's thinking about. Right? But the other one is now you can use it and do so many things with it. That's spontaneous. But the riding and the bicycle is the same. Not that once you become expert, then you don't sit on the seat. You put your head there and then you go. And with your arms you do and you drive with your feet and all that. And that would be spontaneous. What could you do it with your... Yeah, your head would be facing the right way. Yeah, good work. You might have to adjust the seat,
Get a loud bell. Get a loud bell.
Yeah. Or put a helmet there instead of the seat. Is that okay? Yes.
This verse, Divyam Gyanam, shows like the essential part of Diksha, the results of following the instructions properly.
Yes, yes. So it's the knowledge that's there. That's why we don't make so much siksha. It means you have the Diksha and Siksha Guru. But because knowledge is the thing, the Diksha Guru already is the Siksha Guru. Siksha Guru means if he hasn't given Diksha. Right? Does that make sense? So of the Siksha Gurus, one of them gives Diksha. So one can have many Siksha Gurus, but one gives Diksha, and he's called the Diksha Guru. Does that make sense?
For person liberated, it will, or like more qualified, it will work without the formal initiation. The same process works.
Yeah, it means if they're liberated, then you don't need the Pancharatra, like you see with the six Goswamis. Then there's no Pancharatric initiation. Therefore, it's just transcendental knowledge. That's their initiation, right? But the point is because they're liberated, there's not going to be any distraction due to material desire. So they've been given instruction, they've taken that up, that'll be eternal. But for the conditioned soul, if he feels like it, he follows. If he doesn't feel like it, he doesn't. So that's why you have Pancharatra and the formalization of Diksha, so that now you're obligated. It's a contract. The other is automatic, but it's a contract. Does that make sense? So it's dealing with the conditioning. So that's why it's better. The other one you can do, but traditionally we always follow it. Because otherwise you don't know how long it'll take. This way you know it'll speed it up. Right? It means you're doing something and you want a result from that work. Right? So now, if I said, okay, you can chant Hare Krishna and you will go back to Godhead. Right? When we're not sure how many lifetimes it'll take, we're not sure. Right? But you will get there. And then if I say, but if you follow this process of Purushacharya, Vidhi, and Diksha, then generally speaking, you have a good shot at it to go back to Godhead in one lifetime. It would tend to speed it up. That will be the general result. So which would you pick? Right? Now, if we look at it, no, but what happens if someone's so advanced he doesn't need it? The person is so advanced, does he have a problem with Purushacharya, Vidhi, and Diksha? No. Who has a problem with Purushacharya and Diksha? Yeah, the one who's not so advanced, the one who's lazy, or the one who has problem with authority. They're the ones that have the problem. So, do they require it or not? Yes. So, what do you tell to the person that goes, no, but you don't actually require, what do you tell him?
Yes, we do.
Yes, you do. Because the one that doesn't require it doesn't ask the question. That's the point. It's just like, let's say we're fasting. Right? Now, we're fasting. So, the person that raises his hands and says, when's lunch? Does he need to eat?
Yes.
Yes. The person who is not having a problem with fasting, does he ask when's lunch? You understand? So it's like that. That's why Chanakya says, if you don't know whether to eat or not eat, don't eat. If you don't know whether to travel or not travel, don't travel. And if you don't know whether to get married or not get married, get married. You know what I'm saying? Because by the nature of that, you're asking it means you require it. Does that make sense? Okay, so therefore, by the tradition, then we follow it. Because then it will work for everybody. Because the idea is, what makes the most universal application? Right? That's what the acharyas are looking for. Therefore, following the Purushacharya Vidhi and Diksha is there. But we're following it in what works for us as given by Srila Prabhupada. Right? So unless one is born into, you know, high class, practicing, generally Vaishnav family, then don't bother with that. You bother with this one, how Prabhupada is given. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. In other words, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is so powerful that it does not depend on official initiation, but it doesn't say it doesn't depend upon association. But if one is initiated, engages in Pancharatra Vidhi, deity worship, his Krishna consciousness will awaken very soon. Now this is Prabhupada's purport, right? And his identification with the mature world will be vanquished. Because right? Otherwise, if that's not there, the tendency is to still identify with the world. So the holy name is more powerful than our attachments, so slowly, slowly, but who knows, we'll be distracted, commit offenses, all these different things. So you don't want to risk it. You know, that's the point. Starting to miss my rocks. It's not even holding the paper down. The more one is freed from material identification, the more one can realize that the spirit soul is qualitatively as good as the Supreme Lord. Because here we see, here is why we say start with self-realization, because otherwise we like to jump ahead. Right? But we're saying, the more you're free from material identification, you can understand that you're have the same qualities as the Supreme Lord. Right? Now we've already discussed not being a Mayavadi from that thing. Then that takes us to the next element. At that stage of realization, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna mantra, cannot be identified with any material sound. Because you're not identifying with the material, you're identifying with the spiritual. So therefore, you don't identify the holy name with anything material either. So now you're actually appreciating the transcendental position of the holy name. When you understand your transcendental position, you'll be able to fully appreciate the Lord's transcendental position of the holy name. If one accepts the Hare Krishna Mahamantra as a material vibration, he falls down. One should worship and chant the holy name of the Lord by accepting as the Lord himself. Right? So that's what you're trying to come to. So if you're trying to remove the material attachments and identity, right, then this Purushacharya Vidhi and the initiation, that's what's going to do it very quickly, because that's what they're meant for. They're meant for removing the material identity. Because when we say Pancharatra is necessary if you're conditioned, what does that mean? If we say conditioned, what's another term for that in relationship to this point?
Illusion,
right? So then that means you have, what's your identity? Spiritual or material? So material identity is automatic. Conditioning means material identity. They go together. Right? So that means the Pancharatra will help correct that. Right? The holy name can, but this is a way to directly, by regulation and other things, it makes it much more easy. So when that happens, then you come to the transcendental platform, then your understanding of the name also is on the proper platform. Then it will be very quick. Does that make sense? Because we have to remember that bhav is still sadhana. It's not sadhana bhakti, it's bhav sadhana, it's in its own category. Because you have sadhana bhakti and you have prema bhakti, but bhav sadhana is in the middle, it's in between. Does that make sense? So it's its own category. But still, you have to get from the platform of Brahma-Bhuta, or liberation, to prema. Right? And if we're thinking, if we're calculating that coming from conditioning to liberation is big, a big distance, okay? Right? And that is being compared, that a drop of happiness to an ocean of happiness, right? Material happiness is a drop, liberation is an ocean. Okay? And so we're considering that distance to be substantial. Okay? So then, what is the distance between, a fraction of a portion of a drop, not even a whole drop, and now an unlimited ocean rather than just an ocean? Also substantial. Right? So that's the difference between bhava and prema. Does that make sense? So that's the point. So we're not saying, because you're on that is traversed very quickly. The slowest part of the whole equation is the kanista part. That's the slowest, because it's not fixed, it's anishta. Once one gets to nishta bhakti, then it speeds up very greatly. And once one gets taste, then it's even more, right? So then it's like the leaves are like, it's given the example of leaves being blown away, dry leaves being blown away in a storm, right? Very easily cleared, right? So the anarta's going is extremely fast, while the neophyte, one identifies with them, you know, like this. But the Madhyama is not identifying. That's why it's dried leaves. But they're all going away very quickly. Does that make sense? So now one's still conditioned. So now add on to that. Now you have attachment, not just taste, attachment, and you're not conditioned. So that means it can be traversed very quickly. But the point is the distance is not, you know, just like the distance of Madhyama and the distance that is still, you got three stages. But the problem, actually, the neophyte has five. But the problem is that the more you advance, the quicker it goes. Because you're adding one thing to the next. We tend to look at, okay, the Shraddha, then you move on to Sadhu Sangha, then you move on. No, but without Shraddha, will you keep Sadhu Sangha? What happens if someone loses faith? They give up the association, right? Then Bhajana Kriya. Right, that's going to happen with the association of devotee and faith. What happens if you give up faith? Right, you stop bhajana kriya, you give up the association like that. Right, does that make sense? So it just each one goes. So when you move to the next one, it means it already includes whatever's before. Right, so prema means it includes all the previous eight. Right? So it's the mature position of those eight. So Shraddha, which is each time increased, right? Then means now it's at its mature state. Right? So prema means mature Shraddha. So you could say there's nine stages of Shraddha and you add these things and each, you understand? But so we look at it like this. So then the point is it will be very quick. But while we're saying this is that we say, oh, that's there, and so it's just, no, it's the same principle. The same principles that are the problem, the root cause of problem in bhav is still the root cause for the neophyte. Just the neophyte has a whole lot of other baggage that he doesn't even notice the root principle. Right? I'm the controller and enjoyer. The neophyte doesn't even generally notice that I'm trying to control and enjoy. You know? Does that make sense? You know, they said that to me, I'm a Prabhupada disciple, how can they say that to me? You know, I'm the temple president, or I've been here longer than them, or I'm, you know, 40 years old and they're only 20, who are they to say, what are we dealing with here? They're presenting it as if it's a religious principle. But what in actuality is it? It's a problem of who's in control. And probably if you keep going, who's going to enjoy? You understand? So the neophyte doesn't even notice the root. Well, for the uttama, then it's very clear because there's no conditioning. So all that's left is the mentality. Right? The example is given, you have a box and you have hing inside. If you dump out the hing and wash the box and smell it, what does it smell like? Hing, right? So that's the point. So even at the beginning stages of bhava, there's still that fragrance of material life. There isn't any, but there's still the fragrance. So that fragrance has to go. Right? So that's what bhava is doing, is getting rid of that fragrance and bringing that attachment to Krishna to its proper maturity. Right? So just as here, if your material attachments are getting in the way, then, you know, your attachment to Krishna won't develop. So there, if the fragrances and the material are still there, you can't develop that fragrance of love for Krishna. You understand? It's the same. There's no difference in all the levels. We'll take it, well, this is one level and that's a whole different level. But that's, you know, watching too much, you know, how you say, mundane concepts of what's religion and self-realization.
Is that fragrance constitutional for this pastime, or is it
only... No, it's just the leftover. It means to be the controller and enjoyer is not the constitutional nature of the jiva. To be servant is. But that he's independent and full of happiness, then that's the thing, because his independence turns into I'm the controller. And his nature for happiness, instead of it being out of love, it's out of lust. You know what I'm saying? So the fragrance is still there. So one can feel I'm advanced. Or because that's I'm the controller, right? That's I'm the identity, and I'm the guru of devotees. That's the other, the attachment, right? So therefore, it still takes on the quality that I'm still God or God's devotee, right? So here, when we say God's devotee, we don't mean a devotee; we mean the devotee, right? Because Radharani is the devotee. Mother Jashoda is the devotee. You know, Sudam, Sridam, they're the devotee. We are devotees of the devotees. You know what I'm saying? Is that you're catching these points? It's clear?
Yes.
Good? Okay. Yes.
Could Prashtarya be called like anatomy written before initiation, or
why use that? It's just called preliminary, because preliminary is a standard thing. You do puja, there's preliminary rites. Before you do a yajna, there's preliminary rites. Before any activity, there's preliminary, right? Before abhideya, there has to be the preliminary of knowing the field and being inspired to work within that field, right? So that's preliminary. So anartha nivriti is used when you're looking at removing the anarthas from the heart. But even if there's no anarthas, you're doing something beforehand. So if just setting up the paraphernalia for puja, but you could say it's an anartha that there's an anartha of, you know, an unwanted situation of no paraphernalia. So I have to remove that unwanted the situation by bringing the paraphernalia. But is that actually how we're thinking? No. So therefore, anartha nivriti wouldn't be the term. This becomes the problem when we become attached to using a particular term that is connected to the generic principle, but is specific for a situation. And we've seen that it connects to another situation. But of course it does, because it's connected to the principle. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? The man is very, you know, being masculine, he is kind to the feminine nature. Right? So he's kind to his mother, he's kind to his wife, he's kind to his daughter. But how you're going to define the relationship between the man and his daughter, the man and his wife, and the man and his mother is different. But the principle is there of the feminine. So now if you see a connection between the daughter, you know, that kindness to the daughter and the kindness to the mother, you know, she wanted something and she wanted something, so therefore, and then you try to use the definitions used for the daughter in describing the mother, it's artificial. But because we worked it out, we get attached to that. So many times we have a tendency to use the definition beyond its traditional use. That's why we stick to, we see how the acharyas use. And then, where the acharyas do use them interchangeably, we want to create a difference. You know what I'm saying? So that's just the conditioning. It's whatever it is. If we do it the other way, then somehow or another, it makes a uniqueness for us. It creates an identity. Everybody looks at it this way, but I look at it that way. So much of the time, that's the reason. Like somebody's wearing, much of the time, someone's wearing Radha Kuntilak because it's different, rather than the absorption in Radha Kund is so great. But Radha Kund Babaji's use it because it's right there. You know, and to get the Gopi Chandan, they'd have to go somewhere else to get it. They're there, they use it. You know what I'm saying? So one is practical for them. If you're halfway across the planet, it's not exactly you can reach out your hand and get some. Right? The other thing is that, you know, that attachment that has some meaning. Otherwise, it's just something different. You know what I'm saying? So we have a tendency towards, so that's the conditioning. That's why the regulation is there. Tradition is there. We use Gopi Chanda. Right? You don't see in the Gaudiya line the Radha Kund being used. It's not that it's wrong to use it. You go to Radha Kund, take a bath, put on Radha Kund Tilak, no one's going to complain, right? You know, or you have a little piece, and then for a few days, because you're thinking of that, you put it on. Nice. But after that, then it's like, why you're doing this? You know, and they'll have a whole explanation about this, and Radha Kund, and stuff. No, but why are you doing it? You know, that explains the Tilak, but why are you putting that Tilak on? Right? You know what I'm saying? Because you can't, you know, the other one's not bad, right? Out of separation of Krishna, right? When Krishna left Vrindavan and the separation was so great that the gopis drowned themselves, I think they know of in the Jamuna, or wherever they drowned themselves, then that dirt there, that is the Gopi Chanda. So it's not a bad thing. You know, so it's not like, well, the Radha Kund is only this and this. No, it's great. It's pretty good. We'd have to admit that it's, you know, as rasik. Generally what they do is they take Gopi Chandan and they filter it. So if devotees do it, they just soak it in water, run it through a cloth or something to get out the rocks. Because so you have your better grade Gopi Chandan from the standpoint it has no rocks, and then you have those that do have rocks. I don't know, before without the rocks is common, and the cheaper stuff was with the rocks. But now it's hard to find the one without rocks. So either so much has been mined, or, you know, just they make more money off of it and don't want to bother buying the good stuff. So I have no idea. But, does that make sense?
It's not that you just have to buy the one that's in the basket.
No, what I'm saying is so the devotees will take it, soak it, right? When it's just liquid, they'll run it, pour it through a cloth, get out other rocks, and then let it sit, take out the water, and then make it into balls and dry it. Now, there are devotees, you know, that are not in our line, generally like Varanasi and some other places that do the same thing. But they'll generally take it and they won't roll it into balls, right? They'll make it into these longer things and they have a tendency to always put some kind of fragrance in it. Why? I have no idea, but they always put a fragrance. Maybe because the Hindus it'll make them feel better or something, I don't know. But, you know, it's just one of those tricks. It's probably a Varanasi trick that, you got to use mine because it has the smell. The other one, his doesn't smell. Oh, okay, give me the one with smell, right? So, therefore, any of that's all Gopi Chanda.
At least my question is, there's no other place to get it from that.
No, it's from a specific place. Yeah, so that would be what you're looking for. But if you can't get any of that, then you use whatever is going to be able to be put on as tilak. Like that. Therefore, in America, probably use Fuller's Earth. There's a very fine white clay. I think it's like a talc almost. And if you mix it with water, then you can make tilak. You know? So, you know, ultimately, whatever works like that. But so, my point was is that it's generally a tendency to be different than to. You know what I'm saying? So when we take these rules and we follow them to be different, that's not the point. Right? So, yeah. That's there. No, the point is that we follow the tradition. So our tradition is Gopi Chandam. There's nothing wrong with the Radhakund. And if some devotees live there, like, you know, the devotees that stay in the Manipur Mat, you know, from like that, what's his name, Shubdam Ramar Society, they put on, who's going to complain? It's right there. That's what's available. So point is, it's like that. Or someone, you know, grew up there and lived there for, you know, 20 years, and then wherever they travel, that's all the tilak they use, and then they end up staying somewhere else. Okay, for him, that's natural. But, you know what I'm saying? The point is, it's natural. It's not a trip. Right? That's what we're trying to do. Okay. Okay. One should therefore be initiated properly according to revealed scriptures under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, because then one gives up material identity, one comes to the transcendental platform, one identifies oneself as transcendental like the Lord, therefore one appreciates that the name, therefore being non-different from the Lord, is transcendental, therefore there'll be no offenses in chanting. Although chanting the holy name is good for both the conditioned and liberated soul, it is especially beneficial to the conditioned soul because by chanting it, one is liberated. When a person who chants the holy name is liberated, he attains the ultimate perfection by returning home back to Godhead. In the words of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna mantra hoite habe samsara mochana, Krishna nama hoite pave krishnera charana. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can obtain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. The offenseless chanting of the holy name does not depend on the initiation process. Right? So the offenseless chanting doesn't. So then here it also, so if that chandala by the association of the devotees took up offenseless chanting, then there's no need of initiation, right? It means that the society girl at was it Benipal? Where Haridasa Thakur was chanting? Because there was two instances, one at Benipal and another one. So one was Maya Devi and one was one of the local girls. Yeah, but one of them was at Benipal. I kind of remember Benipal, I think, is where the society girl was. So she, from hearing for 3 days his pure chanting, in other words, she heard 9 lakhs of pure chanting, right, over 3 days, and she went home, sold everything, shaved her head, put on a white cloth, came in and sat down at in front of the Tulsi where Haridas Thakur was chanting during those 3 days, and it was chanting. So we don't hear of an initiation, and in fact, I think Haridas Thakur had already left. Right, so her hearing the holy name and taking that up as her life, then that is on the Bhagavad platform initiation. Right, so therefore the pure chanting isn't dependent upon the pancharatra process of diksha. So here's an example, right? Because you know the chandala is not seen socially in a great light, and neither is the society girl, right? So, but the effect you see is works. So that's what we're meaning. So now if the chandala is taking up offensive chanting, it's going to be really, really slow. So therefore, the pancharatrik process is going to be very beneficial. Does that make sense? Although initiation may depend on purascharya or purascharana, so these are the two names you can call it, the actual chanting of the holy name does not depend on purushacharya vidhi or the regulator principles. Right? We have to, means though we follow it, we have, but that's us, it's not the holy name. The name doesn't require, the name can free you, but the point is Krishna, as we surrender, he reciprocates. If we don't surrender, how will he reciprocate? So these just make it that we become more determined so that we surrender. Does that make sense? So the holy name is independent of that, but the initiation depends upon those things. Right? Because they're dependent, so they're dependent upon these other aspects. The holy name is independent, it doesn't depend. We're the one that has the problem. Therefore, the tradition says we should follow. Right? If one chants the holy name even once without committing an offense, he attains all success. During the chanting of the holy name, the tongue must work. Simply by chanting the holy name, one is immediately delivered. Right? So here, he attains all success. So it's very important to just, I'm bringing this out from this one sentence. Even if one chants the holy name once without committing an offense, he attains all success. So what is the all success that they're talking about?
Liberation?
No. That's success. Yeah, praying or going back to Godhead, right? So, because in other places you'll see that just by one chanting of the holy name, one attains liberation. And some devotees will apply this. Well, that's a pure name. But Haridas Thakur is saying even a Nama Bas will liberate you. That's why that Brahmin was so upset. You know, he could maybe handle, well, he was a smarter, but he could maybe handle if you had explained a pure name. Then it has some, you know, because it'll be difficult to obtain that, because his point is liberation is difficult to obtain. But here we're pointing at liberation, just Nama Bas will give you that. Now prema, that takes a pure, offenseless chant. Right? So we have to be able to discern here that when we say success or perfection, you have to see the context. Because generally perfection, when Prabhupada says perfection, he means liberation. And when he says the supreme or the ultimate, you know, or here's all, right? Then that defines. You know, this is what was called the other day. This is your adjective. Right? Yes.
The original chanting of the whole name does not depend on the initiation process.
Yes.
That is, they understood that he already has surrendered to the pure devotee of the Lord.
Yes. That's not, because he's saying, you have to be in the association of devotees. Right? And you have to be surrendered to following. Then that will work. Without all these other things, it will work. But if one doesn't fully surrender, then the pancharatric process ensures. Because if you fully surrender, then you're always surrendered to the instructions of the great devotees. Right? You're always following in their footsteps. Okay? What does pancharatra do? It makes sure every day, at least once, right, you worship the spiritual master, and at least, you know, so throughout the day, you're following the instructions. That's what pancharatra does. Because if it was left up to us, just chant Hare Krishna, these are all the things that the great devotees do, how many would we do? Right? That's the point. We have to go to Mangal, therefore we're up. If it was, you know, the great devotees go to Mangalarti, how many would be there? So that's why it's not required, but the association of the devotees, that's already taken as understood. Now they're talking about the ritual of Purushcharana and initiate Diksha. Okay? But during the chanting of the holy name, the tongue must work. Simply by chanting the holy name, one is immediately delivered. The tongue is Sevan Mukha Jihwa. It is controlled by service. One whose tongue is engaged in tasting material things and also talking about them cannot use the tongue for absolute realization. Right? So now he's giving more detail. Right? Because if one's accepted that, then this principle will have meaning. Because you've already accepted the transcendental position. And that something connected to Krishna makes it transcendental, something not connected doesn't, right? Because otherwise we'll say, no, it's all these rituals make it transcendental. Right? So the point is the tongue is what you're chanting with. So if it, due to attachment, right, the conditioning, it's eating material things and talking material things, right, then how will it vibrate transcendence? Right? So if it is tasting transcendence and vibrating transcendence, then there's a chance you will then be able to appreciate it. Right? So that's why these regulations then become important. Because the central point, because one can argue all one's night, but it's still the tongue that's doing the work. And so based on the tongue doing the work, how will it function? Right? So the point is if the consciousness is there, then yes, you'll only be taking prasad and you'll only be talking about Krishna. But the consciousness is not there. So what's going to get your consciousness there? Because if consciousness is not there, you're not on the transcendental platform. You're on the material platform because you absorb your consciousness in the mundane. right? So if we're beyond, yes, beyond means on that platform, liberated, then yes, we don't have to worry about it. The point is the name is beyond. Whether we are, you know, that's another point. Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grahyam Indriyahi Sevan Mukhe Hi Jihvadau Swayam Eva Spuratyadha. With the material senses, one cannot understand the transcendental holy name of the Lord or His form, activities, and pastimes. But when one actually engages in devotional service, utilizing the tongue, the Lord is revealed. C.C. Madhya Lila 17.136. As it is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 17.134. Ata eva krishnera nama deha vilas. Prakritendriya grahya nahe haya swaprakash. The holy name of Krishna, His body and His pastimes cannot be understood by the blunt material senses. They are manifested independently. Right, so the Lord is independent. So this goes back to what we were discussing in the Upanishad. You know, and earlier here is that unless you surrender to Krishna in devotion, perform activities in devotion under authority, you can't understand Krishna. It's not a matter of your intelligence. It's not a matter of your sentiment. Right? So here we've discussed, because you have the intelligence doesn't mean you can understand God. And because you have so much sentiment doesn't mean you can understand. Right? So it's only by His grace when you perform service. So the central point being the holy name. So that means then the central point is chanting. Right? And so the tongue must be engaged transcendentally. Okay? Yes.
It is not uncommon in ISKCON nowadays that devotees who are either only first initiated or not following all the regulations at all or not chanting are worshipping the
deity. That you have to take up with the local authorities. But it's not authorized by Prabhupada on back. So who's authorizing it? It has to be post-Prabhupada. You know what I'm saying? The scriptures don't authorize it, and the others don't authorize it. So.
What are the results? Is it unbeneficial for them and for the
but community? Point is this is not the forum, right? It's another discussion. Because we touched on deity worship doesn't mean that now we can touch on that, and that's on there, so then it's on clothes, and the clothes should look nice, and so then should we dress nicely, and if we should dress nicely, can we wear fashion clothes? And if fashion, are there any particular houses are recommended because they're more fashionable? And if we do that, does it matter where we buy it? You know, like that. So, you know, is it all right? Is okay, the company's from Paris, but do we have to buy it in Paris? You know, can we buy it in New York? And if it's in Paris, do we have to get it, you know, on, what is it, Champs-Élysées or whatever, like that? Do we have to get it there? Or can we get it, you know, some little thing outside of kind of Paris there because it was last year's fashion and okay, but, you know, but in New York, they won't know anyway, so. You understand? So, that's it. Okay, because it's a whole different discussion. You know what I'm saying? If it's directly related, fine. But then you're giving authority, how it works, the whole process, and this and that. So you're going to have to go in and see the situation. But according to tradition, which is something we like to follow, it's never done. You know what I'm saying? Not if it's a temple deity. And even in the home, generally it's something avoided. Prabhupada's father is worshipping a deity. So it's going on. He's properly initiated. So he's getting his son involved. But not in his deity. He has his own. But if you have the house deity and then everybody in the house just worships, that's no tradition in any line anywhere. That's called creating your own religion. That's what we're saying. If you don't follow, you'll create one. Does that make sense? So, you know, so we have to be able to discern. That's why I said at the beginning of this class, we have to use some fine intelligence to discern between these points. Otherwise, it won't make any sense. So with that kind of intelligence, then you can go and look at these. Otherwise, the tendencies will just take them from their external point, their external view, and then you won't get anywhere. Like that. Is that okay? Okay. So, page 16. Section 3, Development from Shraddha to Prema. Right. Srila Rupa Goswami writes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.4.15, so this is another major verse in the Nectar of Devotion. Adau Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sango Ta Bhajana Kriya Tato Narta Nivriti Syat Tato Nishta Ruchis Tata Ata Shaktis Tato Bhavas Tata Prema Bhudhanchati Sadakanam Ayam Premna Pradhurbhave Bhavet Krama. In the beginning, there must be faith. When one becomes interested in associating with pure devotees, then one becomes interested in associating with pure devotees. Thereafter, one is initiated by the spiritual master and executes the regulator principles under his orders. Right? Otherwise, you're following regulator principles, but not specifically under his orders. Right? There's a generic, but now you're specifically. Right? Thus, one is freed from all unwanted habits and becomes firmly fixed in devotional service. Right? Notice the smoothness of the translation, how one wouldn't even understand it's a list of nine things. Like that. That's what we see Prabhupada and the others are so expert at. You know, we'll get it out there and all the bullet points and all that. Thereafter, one develops taste and attachment. This is the way of sadhana bhakti, the execution of devotional service according to the regulative principles. Gradually, emotions intensify, and finally, there's an awakening of love. This is the gradual development of love of Godhead for the devotee interested in Krishna consciousness. So there he said, this is the way of sadhana bhakti. Devotional service according to the regulator principles. So he brought it up to attachment. So there's no question that raganuga means no regulator principles. That's not our line. If it's being professed, know it, it's not our line. Another line, maybe. But it's not ours. There's a good chance you'll find if you talk to those from those other lines, it's not theirs either. Right? I'm only bringing this out because especially in this section, then we're going to be probably touching on the elements between Vaidhi and Rag. So now, a summary of chapters 2 to 8 of Madhurya Kadambini by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So this is okay, on this Shraddha to Prema. So it seems there's different sections. It's like the last one. It was on the surrendering of the Guru, taking initiation, so we had those two parts. Shraddha and Sadhu Sangha. The pilgrim undertaking a journey on the path of devotion must have faith, Shraddha. A faith synonymous with the firm conviction to act on the words and instructions of devotional scriptures. Faith is of two kinds. Svabhaviki, natural, and balotpadika, inspired by an external force. Right? You also have this when you're talking about discipline. Someone inherently has it, or by association they develop it. Right? So that is there. But the point is one has to have it. It doesn't matter how one got it, but the idea that one doesn't, because one would obtain it, that one doesn't require it, that's not the question. So faith must be there. Faith gives birth to the desire to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master and to learn from him the proper rites and etiquettes of the devotional service. Right. Yeah, so etiquette is an important element. There's a point where Lord Chaitanya says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you haven't developed Vaishnava etiquette, you're not going back to Godhead. It doesn't matter how advanced you are in so many, but if you don't have Vaishnava etiquette, you're not going back to Godhead. It's not the ritual. The ritual is ways to manifest the etiquette, the culture, right? But the point is if one doesn't have the right attitude and that culture of being able to associate with other devotees and living entities and things, then one won't go back to Godhead because the spiritual world is full of living entities and things. If you don't deal right with them here, you're not going to deal right with them there. You're the same person. Sincerely following the spiritual master's instructions bestows upon a disciple the good fortune of wanting to associate with an elevated saint experienced and absorbed in the same devotional mood as the disciple himself aspires for. In other words, a like-minded saintly instructor. Right? So sincerely following the spiritual master's instruction bestows the good of wanting to associate and absorb in the same mood. Right? So there's a slight subtle difference here, right? Because you're already following the instructions before, but when that matures that you really want to, then that's Vajra Kriya. Right? In other words, when you take up Sadhu Sangha, you're hearing instructions. Why did you develop faith? You heard instructions. Right? So that associating and hearing instructions, then that is all right there from the beginning. Right? So that we can't, because we see we were discussing in the others, then the first one comes up. What was it? Accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, right? Becoming initiated, right? And then how to discharge devotional service. So accepting the shelter means you're accepting the instructions, the direction. Right? Then, second is accepting initiation. Right? So there's that. So catch that in the subtlety of what's being mentioned here. Yes. Okay, but do we understand this point being made? That there's a difference between you're taking up the instruction and following it, then you become qualified to, you know, sincerely follow it and therefore get initiation. Is that clear? So then those two points of Rupa Goswami are being made. So this is another section dealing with a different progression. But, because the other was the 64 items, and this is the nine levels of prema. But it's the same. Right? The same, the major principles are the same. And wanting to associate with an elevated saint experienced and absorbed in the same devotional mood as the disciple himself aspires for. In other words, a like-minded saintly instructor. At this point begins the stage of Bhajana Kriya, the platform of serious devotional activities. Right? So Bhajana Kriya means serious performance of Bhajana Kriya. But it's still anishta. So we see it's when we're dealing with the devotional line here, it's a very elevated process. So here we're talking about Bhajana Kriya being advanced. Not advanced meaning advanced devotional service, but as far as human life goes, it's an advanced stage. Because you're committed to serve the Supreme Lord. Right? And so therefore you're committed to the process that will elevate you to that platform. Right? So when we look at a neophyte, all this and that, it's so uttama is, you know, something of substance. But when you're talking about coming from subhuman life and just touching on human life, you know, then having established oneself in human life, then we're talking about the neophyte is beyond that. The neophyte is more elevated than the well-established human being. And the human being is way beyond the subhuman, a.k.a. Western lifestyle. Right? So human, varnashram, and that's way beyond, you know, the difference between sophisticated animal life and human. So it's a big gap. Then between varnashram, which is just a form, and the real purpose of it, which is devotional service. So from pious mundane to transcendental, that's very big. Then within that, then the neophyte is the junior, the madhyam is the intermediate, and the uttama is the adept. You know, does that make sense? Is that caught? Okay, like-minded means the general point is that you're talking about Vaishnav, who means worshipper of Vishnu. So you're going back to Godhead. That will be the specific. Does that make sense? And other than that, then that means what the realm is, you know, Vaikuntha or Goloka. Does that make sense? And then in Goloka, you know, that means Dwarka Mathura Vrindavan.
So it's like final destination.
Yes. So like-minded means what he aspires for. Right? Elevated, experience and absorb in the same devotional mood as the disciple aspires for. Right? So, just to make sure it's understood, it's not something to make a trip out of, then he says, in other words, a like-minded saintly instructor. Right? So this can also include the mood, meaning his practice. In other words, we have a conditioned nature, and so the mood that the spiritual master works with or exchanges with us on, our conditioning is able to appreciate it. Does that make sense? Like that. So, you know, someone coming from, let's say, a military background, and so therefore when they come in contact with the devotees, and you know, we have all these regulations, and here's the temple commander, and that's the temple president, they'll appreciate that. Right? But let's say they've come from a different background where, you know, they're always worried about authority and exploiting and this and that, so then these things will be a problem for them. So the devotee over in the corner who's, you know, very nice, I'll come and do this, you can help me do this thing, and so all the exchange is what attracts them to Krishna consciousness. You understand? So the point is what activities you can relate to, and that method of delivery of how it's given to you, that will also mean like-minded. Okay? Because even if where they're going in the spiritual world, but the point is if your conditioned nature can't relate to it, you won't take it as seriously as if you can. So it would mean both of these.
So meaning this devotional mood, there is no, in the beginning, there is no talk about the same vows or
I knew we were going that way.
That is,
we tried to deflect. But
it's.
I mean, I haven't heard of it. We don't do it. But there are those who profess it. But as we see, as we go through, it has nothing to do with the reality of devotional service. Absolutely nothing. As Rupa Goswami makes a clear point, is that Raganuga can begin as a focus after Anartha Nivritti. A neophyte, that's the last stage of neophyte. Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajana Kriya, and Anartha Nivritti. Those are the four stages of neophyte. So coming to Nishta, then it could be something considered. Because otherwise, if you can't understand transcendental because of your attachment, how do you discern within transcendental? Right? Rasa is the detail within transcendental. But if you're absorbed in material rasa, how do you appreciate spiritual rasa? Right? Because rasa is one entity. So it's either spiritual, emotional, or sensual. So if you're absorbed in sensual and emotional, or both, how will you appreciate transcendental? So therefore, this idea that the neophyte can get into all these things and all that stuff, it's not mentioned anywhere. No one recommends it. Some talk about it, but hey, you know what I'm saying? The generic category for that kind of discussion, the term used is sahaja. That's the term used. But in detail, you have to see actually who's saying it. You know what I'm saying? You know, if they're within the line of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then you would be very careful. You wouldn't use that term. If they're outside of that, you know, different all these other lines, then that's the sahajiyas. You know, I always thought, you know, okay, we call them sahajiyas, but, you know, what do the sahajiyas call themselves? That's what they call themselves. That's why we call them that. Smartas are called, they call themselves smartas. Mayavadis, they call themselves Mayavadis. Okay. Is that, okay. Anything else on this? Major point, yes.
No, he said that by the spiritual master instruction, we can develop the desire to associate with one elevated saint experience.
It generally means the same person. Yeah, yeah, it's not that, yes, by following Prabhupada's instructions, then you get the desire to associate with that elevated saint who's not in ISKCON. No, that's not what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying. I mean, the point is by you associate, but by following it, then you actually want to commit yourself to it. You know what I'm saying? The boy associates with a girl, right? And by that association, his relationship develops. So from that, he gets so inspired by being with this girl that therefore, he's now ready to go off and marry the other one. Right? Isn't that how the romantic goes? That's all the romantic story go that way, right? Yes or no? I'm getting worried here that maybe in France it's another thing. Okay, the point is that... The point is that, no, he gets inspired by the girl and marries that girl. Right? That would be normal, right? Usually. Okay. No, we're not talking another thing. It means, but the point is that, okay, let us say that the first girl is very worthy of being married to that boy and has the same nature. So now would he go off with the other girl? No, the other one's called the... I think we call it...
Rehab?
No. That's if the first one. Femme fatale, I think, or something like that. You have a name like that? I don't know how you pronounce it. That's the problem when you have a French word, but you don't know how to pronounce it. Femme fatale. Yeah. So that's the other one. You understand? The first one's not, right?
No,
that's another thing, but if you're within the line we're talking about here. It's here that you come in contact with this. See, in this, what we were saying before from the last chapter, you come in contact, associate with the spiritual master, means you're associating with the Vaishnavas. So that is technically the Vartma Pradarshak Guru. Right? So now that Vartma Pradarshak Guru can be the same person who will then become the Siksha and then Diksha Guru. But it also can be the Vartma Pradarshak is someone who brings one to the path and then one takes shelter somewhere else. That can work. So there you might come in contact with preachers within the society, you get inspired, and then you want to seriously, so then you take shelter of who has a nature similar to yours that you can relate and therefore take initiation. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the process. Now, whether it's the same person or it's even different persons, that this one then, by that then you take seriously instruction, which is another person, then take initiation from a third, that doesn't matter. The point is that all the ones before Diksha, they will remain as Siksha Gurus. And then the Diksha Guru is the Diksha Guru. Now, and those Siksha Gurus may be on the level of the Diksha Guru, meaning that transcendental, eternal transcendental relationship, that can also be there. Or they can just be the preachers. Like that. I think that will come up when we get into the holy name and the ten offenses with Haridas Thakur, because he makes the point. You know, does that make sense? So it'll come up more there. But we're talking about within the same line. But it can be that it's can be the person is there inspired, and some Sri Vaishnava inspires him to take up worship of the Lord. From doing that, then he notices the ISKCON devotees, and then from that, then he takes up that process and all that. That's okay. So it works, but it's not that. One is not giving. Here it's a matter of a difference in the destination. It's not a matter of that the Shris couldn't take you back to Godhead. It's just they're going to take you to a different place. You know what I'm saying? And if you want to go there, then they're the Wallas, right? But at the same time, it's through the emphasis on the chanting called the holy name, you can get there quicker also. Does that make sense? So one has to be careful. The other thing is then saying that Prabhupada or some even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that they're only giving preliminary aspects of devotional service and other Gaudiyas are giving the higher. That's a complete misnomer. That's a matter of they're not generally very good at understanding the language. That's one thing. So they can't understand when these things are said, it includes all of that. So when Prabhupada is saying something, the same word includes the neophyte, the madhyama, and the uttama level. Because otherwise, then how would it be full instruction? You know what I'm saying? Because it's said that there's the guru who's giving relevant instruction. It means it's relevant to you now. But then someone like Prabhupada, they're giving instruction that is always relevant, no matter what your position is. So you can read the same thing, and later it doesn't have to be changed. The same instruction will work at this higher level, and again at a higher level. Does that make some sense? Like that. So that's what I'm talking about, because then it's like you're starting with one, ending up with another. It's the same thing. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like, you know, the man's with the one girl, and then it's getting serious, and then once it seems serious, then that girl's sister gets interested, and then she tells the guy, she really won't actually be able to make you happy, but I can. You know, she's junior. I'm the more mature one, more experienced, so therefore marry me. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So there's something wrong going on here. But if you just happen to be, he's just in a generic environment and some girl is very attractive, so he becomes inspired by having a relationship with the girl, and then when he goes seriously to look, then he finds a specific girl. That's a different thing. You know what I'm saying? Because one's generic and one's the other person. So taking what Prabhupada's given and the practices and that to call them generic, then in my mind would borderline on offensive. You know what I'm saying? So it's very, very delicate. One has to be very, very careful. Is that okay? Is that answer it? Is there something left there? Or
just one small thing that I was thinking that he said that the spiritual master, suppose he cannot guide his disciple till prema. So the spiritual master can recommend.
Yeah, but he recommends. But did Prabhupada recommend us to go anywhere? Did Prabhupada recommend? So therefore it doesn't apply in this, what I'm talking about here. I'm applying it to a very specific situation that the branches within the Gaudiya mission, you know, are trying to take people from their other place and then say that they've got something that someone else doesn't, they're exclusive and stuff like that. Because it only flies with us. Within the Gaudiya mission itself, they don't buy it. You know what I'm saying? They absolutely don't buy it. You know, the acharya from one mod does not give classes at another mod. It just doesn't happen. You know, you don't go into another mod and preach about your spiritual master from a different mod. It doesn't happen. They don't allow it. You'd just be picked up and thrown out the door. But if we make any comment, oh, we're not broad-minded, we're not liberal, we're not spiritual, we're not this and that, it's just a political ruse, that's all. It's just that I am special, so I'm initiated by this guru, so therefore he is special, so therefore you'll only be special if you approach my spiritual master. That's all it is. We're not dealing with something better than that. You understand? And that, what I just said there, that's Krishna Bhajanamrita. That's why neophytes do this. Because they're so self-centered. You know, whatever I'm into, the whole world should do. Like that. So, the point is that it's not tolerated in any other part of the mission. Because if you can't be chaste, they're not going to take you seriously. Someone the other day was worried about Rog Bartman Chandrika. Who was that? You were, okay. So quoting Rag Bhartma Chandrika, those who aren't chaste to the guru and their line, the eternal residents of the spiritual world won't take them seriously. Because it's not that, oh, well, this is material and there, the spiritual will be different. No. it's just as political an environment, but it's transcendental. It's who can please Krishna the most. But the point is they're not going to trust you. Is if you'll go from one group to another group, why won't you leave Radha and go to another group or within that group? So who's going to take you seriously? Because you're dealing with very confidential things here. You know what I'm saying? So for those who are professing Raganuga, that method won't be accepted by those who are in their terms, Ragatmika. No Ragatmika Bhakti will trust anybody who follows Raganuga in this way. And that's Raghavarma Chandrika, which is the authority on Raganuga Bhakti. You know what I'm saying? So they don't understand. Even the Vedic system, you can't change from one line to another. You know? That's, you know, you have your founder of the line. You can't just go to another line. It's not allowed. So the principle of staying in a particular line, that's the way it is. You know? Especially when it comes to conviction. Yes.
No queue jumping.
Yes, no queue dumping, no this and that. It's not allowed. It's just, yeah.
And this comes as one line.
Because we're following Srila Prabhupada as the founder there. Now, if they want to follow Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and say he's the founder, then that's fine. Yeah. Then stay within that line.
But shopping around between Iskandha.
It's before you shopping around between Iskandha, that's within there, just like in the Gaudiya Math, there's so many gurus. They don't have a problem. You started in one Math, and then before initiation, you go to another Math, no one will complain. Mm-hmm. But once you've taken initiation in that Math, then to go to another mat, then that won't be approved of. Unless the guru says it's... Unless he thinks, okay, they got a program in their mat that we don't have in ours and you'll do best there. Like they have very nice deity worship and we're just, you know, doing something or nothing. So you go there, you'll be engaged. That's fine. But it's been authorized by the spiritual master. But what we're saying is Prabhupada didn't authorize that. You see it in his purports. He very strongly speaks against it. So, and that's not envy. That's coming from the Nitya Siddha platform. He knows what goes on in the conditioned soul's mind. Right. So the point is let us say, going to the example of the wife who has a paramour. Okay? Now, in her dealing with the paramour, let's say in a public place, right? Or dealing with friends who know she has a paramour, and she's dealing about the paramour, and they're in a public place. Is it gross, or is it subtle?
Very subtle.
Extremely subtle. In fact, so subtle that only those in the know would catch it. That's how Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and the Acharyas deal with Raghunuga Bhakti. Does that make sense? So that's the point. So those who try to make it gross and obvious, that's kid stuff. That's what kids do. That's another thing. But we're not going to go that far. But the point is that what we're pointing out, the principle is not mature. Because if you're mature, then you're very careful about it. So to make this prominent, make it obvious. That's why Prabhupada had the problem with the Gopi Bhava Club. It's so obvious. It's so gross. That, you know, unless you read the pastimes of the gopis, you're never going to develop that mood of the gopis. It's like, you know, hey. You know, like, it's not the way it works. Mood is mood. Anything can trigger. That's the thing. Rasa means udipan. What triggers? You know what I'm saying? The girl's talking about the boy with her friend. She's not going on and on and on about so many things. You know, what's going on in her mind is not so many things, it's one thing. A look, a sound of the voice, one action. That's going on and on and on and on. So you have to read volumes to get something out of it. What would we say?
Unnatural.
Yeah, it's unnatural. So that's her problem, is to explain that. right? Then those who deny its existence and say it's not part of our line, that's also, they just don't understand. But, you know, they're trying to appreciate Prabhupada's carefulness here, but they still miss the point. Because the point's not gross. The point's subtle. Right? You're dealing with something subtle, so it's also. So you point out what's gross about it, but the point is subtle. So Prabhupada, you know, does that make sense? Yes.
Small one.
Small one.
Those multiple instructions. This one also could be taken that this sincerely following instructions.
What is sincerely following instructions?
And it could be taken as ID and the latter part as Raghunoga of this sentence.
Of this sentence. Not necessarily, because here it all, that means you could say that, but then here he's specifically calling, this is in the description of Shraddha and Sadhu Sangha. Right? So then he's playing in there. The principle will be the same. Yes, but then the point is to come there, and then it goes farther. So it's a very subtle point, is that one doesn't give up. You know, it's just like, When Shamananda is associating with the six Goswamis in Vrindavan, and then he takes up that mood of conjugal rasa, his guru, what was that, Hriday Chaitanya, I think, you know, who was in Bengal, the rasa he was developing his disciples was Sakya. So when he heard this, he got upset and came there. Right? But he under no situation considered that Hriday Chaitanya is not his guru, and that's his connection to the line. You know what I'm saying? And that his instructions are not valid. He considered his instructions and this and that. This is something finer. It's not that it's higher. It's just there to assist. Because the real point is even if the Siksha guru is saying something that's more detailed, it's still an assistant to the Diksha guru taking you back to Godhead. So it's their assistance to it. But to say, oh, they're on a lower, I'm on a higher, so you come, leave them and come here. That's not allowed. It's not, it sounds okay, but it's completely bogus. Like that. So, it means the specific detail then has to be seen, and then you can then see what's the path it's taking. You know, it's like someone comes in contact with the devotees, you know, at the temple, and therefore gets inspired, and then there's a big festival, and then so many gurus are there, so he becomes more inspired, and, you know, starts taking some, goes to some and gets some different instructions, or takes their instructions, cultivates that, you know, but then, you know, comes to a more serious platform, maybe then at that festival somebody else comes along he's never seen before, but then that's the one who he takes initiative. So but it has to be seen that it's a proper perspective, proper progression. Otherwise, it's fine. Does that make sense? So siksha is one thing, but it doesn't override diksha unless the diksha guru specifically says. So when he says, there's nothing more to explain, right? Then he recommends to go to someone else. And if he doesn't, then that's where you categorize as envious. Right? But you would have to be misguided or misinformed to not understand that Prabhupada's instructions can take you through the prema. So it's like, at what point is it that his doesn't, and then you go to somewhere else? And then just to say his is good for the neophytes, that's really offensive. That means they don't actually understand what senior devotees are. You know, then it's just a form they're looking at. Does that make sense? So that's okay. Okay, so then we'll continue tomorrow with Bhajan Kriya. Okay, that's right into it. It's so important that it's repeated. I have 17, 18, 17, and 19. You also have the same? Huh?
No.
No? So maybe there's something here I'm supposed to be looking at.
Hidden message.
Huh?
Hidden message,
yeah. Why am I? Okay, is this okay? Everyone's comfortable with that? Yes?
Excellent.
Huh?
Excellent.
Okay. Very good.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, some of it. Talk back to Vindaki, and I go with it.